Elhamdülillah Rabbil Alemin. Estağfirullah ellezî lâ ilâhe illâ huvel hayrul kayyûm ve etûb ileyh. Tesbihü't tevbeti vel mağfireti vel hidayeti innehu ettevvâbur rahîm. Vaftu annâ yâ kerîm, vaftu annâ yâ kerîm, vaftu annâ yâ kerîm. Vahfir lenâ bi fadlike ya Rahman, ya Rahim. Ya Meliki, ya Kudüsü, ya Hafızı, ya Allah. El evveli Allah, el ahiri Allah, el zahiri Allah, el batini Allah, hayrihi ve şerrihi min Allahu Teala. Ve eşhedü en la ilahe illallah vahdehu la şerike le. Ve eşhedü enne Muhammedun abduhu ve resuluhu. Esselatu ve selamu aleyke ya Resulallah. Esselatu ve selamu aleyke ya Habiballah. Esselatu ve selamu aleyke ya Seyyidel Evveline vel Ahirin. İşverena ya Şefi el Müzdilin. Bir rahmet ki ya Erhamer Rahimin. Yine hadis-i şerif related by Hazreti Selman-ı Farsi radiyallahu anh. One first Friday of the month of Ramadan, Resulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem came to the masjid and delivered this following sermon. The holy month of Ramadan now is upon us. It is a blessed month. It is the month of my ummah. Amongst months, its honor is like mine compared to other men, like the heart in the body of humankind, like Harem-e Sharif compared to other places. In this month, there is a night which is worth more than 1,000 months. Allah Ta'ala ordered us to fast the days and pray the nights of this month. For each of the obligatory worship you do with pure heart and pure soul, you receive 70 rewards instead of one for worship done in other months. This month is the month of sabr, of patience. The reward of patience is paradise. This month is the month of barakah, of blessings and the rizq, the sustenance of the true servant of Allah will certainly increase. If you give an iftar and feed a mu'min, you will be cleansed of your sins and you will receive the benefit of the fast of your brother whom you fed, while his reward for fasting will not decrease, even those who cannot afford a feast, a handful of date, a glass of milk, a glass of water will do for you the same. It is such a month during which you receive the rahmah, the love and compassion of Allah Ta'ala at its beginning. In its middle, Allah Ta'ala forgives your sins, and its end, you are totally saved from the punishment of hellfire. During this month, if you reduce the duties of the ones who work for you, Allah Ta'ala cleanses you of your sins. during this month, make four things a habit for you during your daily life. With the first two, you will receive Allah Ta'ala's rida. The last two, you certainly need in this world and in the hereafter. So, remember Allah often by repeating and believing with all your heart that there is no one to worship but He. La ilaha illallah. And then repent and beg Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness for your sins and your mistakes. And beg Allah Ta'ala to let you enter His paradise in this world and in the hereafter. And take refuge in Allah Ta'ala from the hellfire. When you feed the hungry and help the poor during Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala promises to quench your thirst by giving you a drink from the fountain of Kafsar on the day of the last judgment, and you will be quenched of thirst for all eternity. You see how simple, how direct, how clear, how uncomplicated when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us of our duty during this blessed month. But it must not escape from our attention. Although the instructions are very precise and very simple, there are some clear conditions. For each of the obligatory worship you do with pure body and pure soul. Pure body and pure soul is the condition of doing your obligatory prayer. So obviously without it is not acceptable, nor is it the same. And this month of Ramadan brings barakah, blessings, and increase of rizq, of sustenance for the true servant of Allah Ta'ala. The adjective, the qualification of being true servant of Allah Ta'ala. Perhaps in that blessed time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with us, and certainly as we read about the people of the early days of Islam, for those who have got eyes, we certainly see that there is a certain difference between us in 21st century and them back then. For us, it is not so easy to be sincere, to be true, to be pure, to be clean. For them, it appeared that it was almost natural. So to give an example, I would like to tell you a story from the life of Hazrat Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu. When his father, whose name was Thabit, he was a young man in his 20s. He was traveling, as it was usual those days, on foot. And the time of prayer has come. He has encountered a little brook with beautiful clear water. He took his ablution. And as soon as he finished his ablution, he saw a beautiful red apple caught right at the edge of the water. So he, without thinking, held it, bit into it, and had a piece of that apple. And immediately he realized that that apple was not halal to him. Neither has he grown it, nor has he bought it. He was eating something which belonged to somebody else. He was crushed. He started walking upstream, hoping to find the orchard where that apple came from. And soon enough, indeed, there was an orchard. So he entered the orchard. He inquired who was the owner of the orchard. And the man's name was Sali. So he went to the owner of the orchard and said, "Sir, up the stream, rather down the stream, I found an apple on the water and I ate it. I suspected that apple belonged to your orchard and I want to pay for it so that it be halal for me, or if you would make it a gift to me." He said, "Indeed, I would make you a gift of all the apples you want in my orchard. But you haven't asked neither my permission nor you paid for it. So absolutely you are right that that apple was haram to you." Hazrat Sali was not a mean man, indeed. Except he was little taken aback with this young man. He said, "Is he pretending to be so really devout and so careful with what is halal, what is haram?" He wanted to test it, and he said, "No, neither can you pay for it, nor am I going to make it halal to you. You have to work for a whole year for me, for that apple which you ate." Hazrat Thabit accepted it, worked a whole year without pay. At the end of the year, when he asked Hazrat Sali to make the apple halal to him, he said, "Look, I have one more condition. I have a daughter who is blind, who is deaf, who is dumb, who cannot speak, who cannot walk, and her hands and arms don't work either. I cannot find her a husband. If you marry her, only then I will make that apple halal to you." Hazrat Thabit said, "Yes, I will marry your daughter." So on the day of the marriage, when he entered the room, he sees this most beautiful woman who can talk, who can hear, who can see, who can touch. He immediately shut the door, went to her future father-in-law. He said, "Ya Sali, you didn't tell me the truth. You told me what I find there, the incredibly beautiful woman in perfect shape and health." He said, "Indeed, I did not tell you a lie. She has not ever in her life seen anything unlawful, heard anything unlawful, tasted anything unlawful, touched anything unlawful, went to any place unlawful. So Hazrat Sa'id married with that girl whose name was Abidatul Azhar, and from that marriage came our Imam, Hazrat Abu Hanifa. When Hazrat Abu Hanifa was 3-4 years old, he made Khatim of the whole Quran al-Kareem in 3 days. And he came to his mother and said, "Mother, I made the whole Quran al-Kareem, 30 juz of it, in 3 days. I read it." "Ah, my son," said Abidatul Azhar, "if your father would not have bit into the apple, you could have done it in one day, without me." Ya Rabbi, for the sake of the blessed month of Ramadan, give us the strength of Iman, and give us the understanding of wisdom, and enable us, Ya Rabbi, to fight against that tyrant, Nafs-e Ammara, and save us from the slavery of our egos. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen.